Is he coming?
I've not heard that he's not.
Okay.
He'll probably call from his car.
I'm going to go ahead and call to order the Arkansas Arts Academy School Board meeting for October. The date is October 20th. Do a roll call. Tony Beardsley.
Nate Fries.
Kara Riley.
Adrian Jackson.
Oh, and Rich Burns.
All right. Next is the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. Comments from the public? Is there no comments from the public?
Yes, there is.
There is, okay.
Brooke Payne is the only one that signed up for it. She is on the video. I will enter her to the first screen here so she's here. Brooke, could you go ahead and say something so we know we can hear you?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
All right, Brooke, welcome. Thank you for speaking to us. As usual, you will have 3 minutes, and when you're ready, go ahead and get started.
All right. Thank you. Yes, I'm highly aware of the 3 minute deadline, which I have often not stayed inside of. So I am using graphics tonight to help me stay succinct. But I just want to say hello and thank you for allowing me to speak. And I want to thank you also the board and everyone that there for discussing special education last month. I did listen in and I appreciate the comments that were made. This is October and it's Dyslexia Awareness Month. And you know, for Mrs. Payne, Dyslexia Awareness Month happens every day. So I just have two pieces of really good news that I want to share with you, information that maybe you don't know, and one sizable but purposeful request regarding dyslexia and special education. I'm going to try to share my screen and see what happens. Okay, first of all, I want to just do a quick awareness fact about dyslexia, that the information that a dyslexic child needs is not different than the information that all other children need to learn. Hang tight. I'm not doing presentation mode because I don't know how to do that. So sorry, guys. Anyways, what dyslexic kiddos need are an experienced teacher right here and evidence-based literacy, a structured literacy approach. And they also need provision of frequent lessons with repetitions. And the frequent availability of lessons is what all schools struggle with, not just Arkansas Arts Academy. So when I come to you and talk about it, this is what we're missing, is the frequent lessons with repetition. But the really great news about Arkansas Arts Academy is that we already use fabulous curriculum right here, Take Flight and Lexia. And we also have about eight qualified instructors in these programs that can intervene in dyslexia and to help students really make progress. And I hope you will agree with me that having good curriculum with highly trained teachers is really good news. But what we're missing is time and space to teach. Sorry. So I've just come today with a quick request and possible remedy. One, I would just like to see that we maintain consistency with our curriculum. Sticking with the best curriculum, Take Flight and Lexia are very highly rated curriculums in the state of Arkansas, in the country. Also, and this is my request, and I think it's Miss Bonnie and Mr. Ken, they need to close their ears on this, but hire some more dyslexia therapists in addition to Mrs. Gladden and Mrs. Harden for a couple of years, as soon as funding is allowed, so that we can increase the frequency and intensity of the provision of intervention to our kiddos. And I just want to say that in something that was mentioned in the last meeting, I'm almost on, one second. I think Mr. Honeycutt mentioned, let's not give our special education kiddos the bottom of the barrel intervention. And a lot of times that's what happens. And that it is somewhat what is happening in our school right now, but it's happening in all schools. It's not just our school, but our school, like I said, has great news. We've got stuff in place. If we just need to add the frequency component. And that's what I'm almost always coming to you and asking for. This year in October, Governor Hutchinson put into place a $38 million reading grant that could fund an endeavor such as this. And so as always, I just want to say that I would be willing to assist and facilitate and get writing grants and going to the legislature, whatever we need to do to get funding for an endeavor such as this. So I think that would be great news and good news for all teachers, all students, and for our school in general. We would be a leader in reading education in the state. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Brooke. We appreciate you. Thank you. All right. Let's go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. Has all the board members had a chance to review the consent agenda, the financials, September financials, the enrollment report? Everybody good? Those online, is everybody good there?
Yep.
Yep. All right.
Yes.
Is there any further discussion? Anybody have any questions, comments? So I'll get into with that. I will take a motion to approve the consent agenda for September, for October.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All right, I have a first and a second to approve the consent agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Ayes have it, motion passed. All right, it is now, I want to welcome this Rich to his first official board meeting. We are so glad to have you here. And I guess you're going to give your first district report, and we are looking forward to that. Once again, thank you. We really appreciate you being here, and we are looking forward to a long endeavor.
Thank you, Tony. So the disadvantage of a mask is you can't see I'm smiling. So let the minute show that the new superintendent CEO was smiling. Yes, thanks. My name is Richard Burrows, and I'm the new CEO of the Arkansas Arts Academy, and I'm really delighted to be here. It's just a small $2,000 mile trip here, and I'm honored at the trust that you've afforded me in leadership of the really remarkable artistic, academic, and creative opportunities that are provided young people in this community. So it's been nearly 6 weeks since I've been here, and I'm pleased to share some of the work that staff and I have been engaged in this first month and a half. So firstly, we've been designing and developing a better and more consistent communication system that comes out of the district to parents and the public. And so official notifications will be sort of clear to those who receive information from the district that this is the official information that's coming from the district. Victor and I are going to work on developing a kind of a signature look to those communications so that no matter what kinds of smaller or more personal communications come from individual staff to folks who have questions, parents and community will know that these particular communications are the official policy or the official information that comes from the district. And that may help to avoid confusion about what is and what is not important to read, especially in this virtual environment where just about everything that we do seems to come via email or text. I've just established in consent from the Finance Committee new protocols and accountability for purchases that are $500 or more. So all of those requests for expenditures in the district come across my desk. And there's an opportunity for school-based administrators to make sure that they approve requests that come from staff underneath them first. It comes to me so that I see this in the context of the total budget for the district. And then it's forwarded to finance so that we can make sure that we have money in the correct places before the requisition and the purchase order is developed. And we've only just started that process, but the advantage to this is that we have more eyes on the process, and the more eyes that are there seeing what's going on, the more questions, solutions, or opportunities for being more accurate about that financial accountability. I have established a kind of a regular meeting schedule with district and school-based administrators so that we can focus on solutions. I meet with central office or district staff weekly, and I meet with principals every other week. And then at the request of principals, I'm organizing a once a month meeting with all administrative staff, district and school-based personnel, and try to organize those meetings so that they really are focused on teaching and learning so that we're all on the same page for our goals and objectives. I've just started to have conversations with staff and personnel about initiating strategies for high quality instruction. And this really is part of a best practices with staff as we prepare for next year. The idea and the opportunity here is that we engage teachers and personnel in identifying what it is that they need, that as we begin to develop the budget for 2021, that we're accurate about what the needs are and we can be more specific about how we move things forward. And then lastly, as if it's a surprise to anybody, we're just trying to keep up with the COVID impact in our schools. It's a changing situation. You can't know when someone might necessarily test positive. You can't know right away what the impact is in the community and among families and who needs and doesn't need to be quarantined. So it's not as if we're in charge of what's going on, but I have to say that I really believe that both the elementary and secondary schools are sort of on it. I don't think that there are transmission of cases that occur here. The sites are clean. We're very careful about what's going on. So just to let the community know that we're taking very careful consideration, and we do have a report later to have a conversation about that. So I've organized the district report today to include a variety of topics. And I hope that as we move forward in this conversation with the board and with the community, that we get to focus on teaching and learning as a part of what goes on in these meetings, and that our presentations and our conversations are really about how best to improve opportunities for young people. And so I really thank you. 6 weeks in Rogers, Arkansas, and I have to say, I really like it a lot. It's been a challenge to get here, but I think I made the right decision, so I hope it's the right decision for the community as well. So thank you, Tony.
Great, thank you. Appreciate it. Anybody have any questions for Rich? Any of the board members?
What's your favorite restaurant?
It's a Mexican place, and it's in Vancouver, Washington.
We're not going there tonight.
All right. Then we're going to move on. Let's see, child nutrition insurance.
All right. I would like to, before I mention child nutrition, I'd like to touch base on cycle two. Cycle two reporting went very well. In cycle two, the Department of Education looks at all of our district information, every student record, every class in the master schedule, teacher certifications, calendars, digital learning, anything you can think of, they look at it. And we did very well, and we were able to submit our cycle two early. The big enchilada about cycle two is that's where all, most of our funding comes from. That's where they pull the data for our special ed funding, our English learners, and poverty with the free and reduced. So accurate reporting is imperative. For child nutrition, Rich asked me to speak on that. I thought I'd give you a little history for those of you that didn't have a background in lunch programs. The National Lunch Program is a federally funded meal program for students and is administrated through the Department of Education Child Nutrition Unit. Harry Truman signed it into law in 1946. The program covers four main areas: your serving site directives for ordering food, checking your order in appropriately. I never realized there was a way to check in food, but there is. Storing procedures, production procedures, temperature control is very important, serving procedures, and then cleaning protocol. That's the first area. The second area is more administrative side. It covers various forms of documentation, from recording free and reduced meal applications, the approval process of those, and notifying parents. Monthly claims for reimbursement of all meals during the month, and the annual verification process of 3% of all applications submitted to the school. And then reporting the findings to child nutrition. The program requires a health and wellness committee to be organized and have regular meetings with minutes and annual reporting to the child nutrition department. The fourth component is the civil rights compliance, and they're very serious about this, and we have to put the non-discriminatory disclosure on every paper that goes out with child nutrition. It covers discrimination, resolution of non-compliance, annual civil rights training for all staff members, disability compliance, limited English proficiency documents. So we produce documents in languages that are familiar for some of our families. And once every 3 years, we're required to report to the United States Department of Civil Rights. It's a 1,400 questionnaire describing our school, our ethnicity in AP classes, what their grades were, what their if their poverty level. All this goes into their data stream. I learned in August that the child nutrition director has to be an employee of the contracted school district, Arkansas Arts Academy, and it can't be someone that works for Airmark. I am listed as the child nutrition director in the state information systems, which requires food safety certification, biannual on-site kitchen inspections, and report it back to the state, 12 hours of annual professional development, and attending the annual child nutrition directors conference in Little Rock. I've learned that the buck stops with me, and if Airmark does not follow protocol or we are written up by the state inspectors, I'm ultimately responsible. So you can see I'm on a large learning curve. Our program this COVID year is offering on-site meal service for breakfast and lunch. We're also offering virtual meal for our virtual students. They can pre-order and pick them up in the cafeteria once or twice a week, depending. The last little bit, the USDA, and most of you may know this, the USDA has extended the free meal service through the end of our school year, June of 2021, to any children through age 18 years of age. What that means for our program is that we are reimbursed at a higher rate, previously available only to students that qualified for free meal application through application or direct certification from the state of Arkansas. Arkansas Arts Academy typically has a free and reduced percentage rate of around 28% of our student population. Reimbursement rates from the USDA are graduated upon how a student qualifies for meal service, such as students receiving free meals, you know, are reimbursed at a higher rate. Our program is benefiting from this new free food service because all our students are now being reimbursed at the free meal rate. This changed our August claim from being reimbursed $3,600 to $6,116, which allows us to absorb the higher disposable container costs due to packaged meals for virtual students and also for our students on campus. And I've covered a lot of information. Any questions?
Very good. Like you have a lot on your plate.
Really appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you, Debbie. I just want to say that this is not necessarily Mrs. Zupan's career goal when she started in this work, but it really makes a huge difference for the economics of the district, and I'm so delighted that it provides opportunities for students to be able to have the nutrition that they need. So thank you, Debbie, for your hard work.
All right, I guess the next thing we have is the COVID status update.
Yes, I just want to share a couple notes about our district's current COVID status. Our last positive report of a case on the K-6 campus, staff or student, was October the 5th. Last positive report of a case on the high school campus was September 26th. To date, our district has had 17 total positive cases. Currently, we have zero active cases. There are a handful of staff and students in quarantine due to being in close contact outside our school district, or they are awaiting a COVID test result. We do ask that those students and staff that their provider has recommended they get COVID testing, that they stay home until they have those results back. The Arkansas Arts Academy school website is updated regularly with the COVID-19 numbers. If you go to the main page of our school website, there's a COVID resources link at towards the bottom. If you click on that, the very first thing you see are our district numbers. And they're broken down by students and staff and by campus. And teachers and registrars have been great about communicating student absences to the health offices. What this allows Maribel and I to do is to follow up with these families regarding illness and provide any guidance whether or not those students need to be tested. Vision and hearing screenings will begin soon. Where we used to gather kids in groups to screen them, Maribel and I will be following social distancing protocols during the screening. So we'll do things differently. Vision and hearing screening takes 5 to 10 minutes at the most, so that will eliminate Maribel and I as being defined as close contacts should one of those students test positive. We have a new vision machine. It's called the Spot Vision. If any of you have little kids and you've taken them to the doctor, it's a little handheld machine that they hold about 3 feet from their face. It flashes lights. It checks their vision. It's amazing. We have that we are now using to screen our kids. So this means that the old machine where students actually had to contact the machine, put their foreheads on it, their eyes were close to the screen, we don't have to do that anymore. So we don't have to worry about more contact with students and cross-contamination. And so I'm very excited about that. Governor Hutchinson announced October 14th that schools will be receiving COVID testing kits to begin screening staff members beginning tentatively November 2nd. October 19th, they were beginning to determine priority districts based on cases, and over the next 2 weeks, they'll begin distributing kits and training. At this time, testing does not include students, but as we learn more from the Arkansas Department of Health, we will communicate more to our families.
Do you know what the frequency is recommended by the governor?
Weekly.
Weekly. Weekly. Okay.
You may not be able to answer this. Have we had any severe cases in any of the students or teachers?
No one that requires supplemental oxygen.
Okay.
So, and no one that has required hospitalization.
Okay.
Are the tests that are coming the PCRs or the other one?
My understanding is they're the PCR.
Okay, so their processing time will still be a day?
Yes.
It's not the 15 minute one? Okay, that's good. I'm happy about that.
All right, anybody else have any questions? Good, all right. Mr. Young, you are up.
All right, so from the K-6 campus, a couple of things we want to highlight. The first is the highlight of an alumni member and a celebration of a staff member. I've received an email and a copy of a 10-page first college essay. And at first I was like, wow, that's a lot of pages. And then I realized why it was sent to me. This was a young lady that graduated from here last year. And her success in college, going out of state to a very prestigious college, and her ability to write an amazing paper, she attributed it to Miss Cerna, who is one of our sixth grade teachers, literacy teacher at our school. The amazing thing about Miss Cerna is she is really one of the foundations of the school district. You know, she's been here since it started, and she is the reason we're still succeeding. You know, programs come and go, you know, buildings look good, buildings look bad, but amazing teaching lasts forever. And to see this lady's impact, and I hate to say, when I went to college, I never thought, oh, you know what, I should email my old principal and brag on a teacher. That did not cross my mind. But for this young lady to reach out and do that in her freshman year is a tribute to Miss Cerna. So for those of you that know her, appreciate her. You know, she is a special teacher, a special lady, and we're blessed to have her here. As far as looking at how school is going, I will say after this break, we are seeing a trend of more people wanting to come back to school, which is great. We would rather have as many students on campus as possible, safely. The other thing this creates, though, is as more people want to come back, how do we manage to do that safely and keep that 6 feet balance? And Katie is probably very tired of me asking her to, can we measure one more time to see if that's actually 6 feet, or can we get one more, you know, or if we move this bookshelf, you know, what can we do? Because we want to balance that safety, but that relationship piece that makes this district special is very important to us. So we want to get kids on campus, but we have definitely noticed a trend in that direction of people wanting to come back and us getting to do our math to figure out how many more kids, because we don't want to exceed, but we want to provide that for the kids. From fall break, from now, from where we've been till Thanksgiving, we're really trying to take a focus though on our virtual learning students. We're not seeing the success rate we'd like to see with them. So we are looking at the program we're using provided by the state, and trying to decide how we can improve upon that, offer some different options, because like anything else in life, one option doesn't fit all, and Lincoln Learning doesn't fit all. So now that we've got used to that tool to some piece, we are looking at other ways we can teach better and reach those kids better. So that is something we want to make sure you know we're working on. And then as we look towards the future, you know, we've got themes that are traditionally big themes at a K-6 campus. When we talk about holiday parties in October and holiday carnivals and what are you going to do in December? Because we always have a theme, you know, and how we can still provide that elementary experience that's vital to all of our childhood memories in a safe way. So, for example, instead of a carnival this year, we're having a pumpkin decorating contest. And, you know, as far as our parties are going to look different, instead of how many parents and children can we put in a small room, instead it's going to be how much can we enjoy each other's company 6 feet apart? And the parents can see the pictures that we send. So, but those are the things we are looking forward to. Any questions?
Sounds like you've got it under control, Mr. Young.
Organized chaos.
Organized chaos. All right. Ms. Wright.
Thank you. I'm going to start by celebrating one of our student leaders who's here with us tonight. Diego Aguilar is the president of our student council, and he would like to share some concerns from the student population at the 712 campus.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Diego. Ms. Wright says. First, I'll start off with what student council has been up to. Instead of back to school bash, which is usually beginning for late August, which is usually the first event for all of our new students and a chance for everyone to, one, meet each other and get a chance to sign up for clubs. Since that was canceled because of COVID, we are creating a club site where students can look and see all the opportunities we have for clubs and for more of a community to start building, because I know during COVID that's the hardest thing to have. Next, we've also tried to build community through a t-shirt contest. We've had students already submit art designs, and we're hoping to get that out by maybe the design out by next week or a week or two. And hopefully we can start selling that to also get school spirit up. And next, as Mr. Young was saying, usually we have a Halloween event. Past few years we've had crazy Halloween haunted houses that had the fire department come here. We won't talk about that. We don't want the fire department to come this year. We're trying to have an outdoor movie night, as that chair says right there, October 30th, and we'll have two movies, one movie for kids, one movie for 13, for the more of the high school age group. And we're just trying to always try to build more sense of community during these tough times. Any questions?
So cool.
Yeah, so glad you're here. We need this. We need to hear from the students.
Thank you.
So what's my good question? What's it like being the president over a seventh grader?
Well, my sister's in the eighth grade.
So okay, nice. So you're a nothing. You know, like, a different level of maturity being the president. So I was bringing kids along, trying to give them the student council and things like that.
Well, also, the 7th, 8th grade also had their separate student council.
Okay.
And my sister's also in that. We're always, you know, I always try to get the information from what they're doing. And actually, some of those art submissions are from the 7th, 8th grade. Most of them are from the 7th, 8th grade. So, they're still young and happy. So.
Still. You mean as you grow older, you get more happy?
Thank you so much.
All right, to follow that up, we just want to we wanted to focus on celebrating more of what's going right in the world right now. So Rachel and I both started a Teacher of the Month and Student of the Month nomination process. So we have a student of the month from the 7th and 8th grade cohort, 9th and 10th grade cohort, and the 11th and 12th grade cohort. These are students who are nominated by their teachers for being phenomenal in the classroom. And that doesn't just necessarily mean that they have high academics, but that they make the learning environment more enjoyable for their peers, for the people around them. So congratulations to McKenna Reese West Arnold, who's our 7th and 8th grade cohort student of the month. Braden Bennett, who's our 9th and 10th grade cohort student of the month, and Amber Mate, who is our 11th and 12th grade cohort student of the month. Those kids all had wonderful things said about them by their teachers, and there were several others who are going to get feedback from me about the wonderful things that they're doing. So we just chose randomly from all the students that were nominated. We also have Teacher of the Month. These are teachers who are nominated by their peers, by students, by families, for some of the outstanding things that they're doing. Rachel and I look at all of the submissions and take those that are nominated most frequently and send them back to the teachers themselves to choose who the Teacher of the Month is. So this year's teacher, or this month's Teacher of the Month, is Josh Deppner, who's our 8th grade U.S. History and AP U.S. History teacher, and he is phenomenal. We're constantly looking at ways that we increase leadership on campus. This year, we're sending 5 students and 2 teachers to the Student Voice Leadership Institute, which is run by the Arkansas Leadership Academy. And I think you guys are actually going to Fairfield Bay, right?
Yeah.
But it's a 2-day retreat, and we have a 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th grader going. Unfortunately, we didn't send a senior, but I want those leadership skills to stay here. I don't want to train them in the daily. So we're looking at building the leadership capacity of our students on campus. And as someone who has been a part of multiple things that the Arkansas Leadership Academy does, it will be worth their time, and they'll come back with lots of skills that they can share with others. We had 4 students qualify for All Region Choir, and they will also qualify to audition for All State. So congratulations to Kaya Carson, Kat Gretzmeyer, Colin Oldham, and Caleb Gunn for representing us at All State. Or at all region. All of our teachers have been, or not all of our teachers. Our English and math teachers have been giving the students diagnostic screeners through Renaissance, which is a company similar to iReady, if you're familiar with iReady from the elementary campus. But it's an adaptive test that gives us an idea of the grade level equivalency in both math and reading for our students. So it takes about 30 to 40 minutes for a student to complete on average. And then the students or the teachers can see exactly which standards those students are ready to learn next, which standards they're weak in that need to be addressed, and it helps us to target who's in need of intervention. So campus-wide, we have about 26 students who are in need of intervention for reading, and a further 19% who are in need of intervention for math. So teachers are looking at those results and figuring out ways that they can differentiate instruction in their classrooms to help those students get what they need. And if you would like to see average grade equivalencies for each grade in math and reading, I have those as well. There are some changes to the enrollment report that I wanted to mention. We've enrolled a further 8 students since October 12th, 1 seventh grader, 2 eighth graders, 2 ninth graders, a 10th grader, and 2 11th graders. So across the board, we're still enrolling students. I give tours regularly, and when I give a tour, that student enrolls. We also are working, I want to give a shout out to our co-teachers. We are working with Boundless Learning, which is a co-teaching professional development. Co-teaching is the model of special education where you have 2 instructors, one who is the special education professional and one who is the general education professional, working together to support all of the learners in the classroom. And so we've partnered with John Hopkins and the Boundless Learning Institute in Arkansas. And those teachers are going through that training so that we can better support our students in English and math on this campus. I want to thank everyone who participated in our feedback survey. We will be analyzing the feedback that we got and be looking at ways that we can improve outcomes for everyone while maintaining safety on the campus. We have several educational and social events in the next month. So for all the students who are like, I want ways to do fun things, you now have ways to do fun things. Those include Suicide Prevention Night, which was actually a parent education that happened tonight with Taryn Thomas at 5 o'clock. Student Council is sponsoring the t-shirt design contest, and I'm excited to add that to my collection of Arkansas Arts Academy t-shirts. We're giving the PSAT test on October 29th to almost all of the sophomores and a good chunk of the juniors. That's the National Merit Scholarship Qualifying Test. Red Ribbon Week is next week, and we have a different theme for every day. Tuesday is Dress for Success Day because that's picture day on this campus. So no crazy costumes in your pictures. FAFSA night to help parents and seniors understand the FAFSA process is happening on October 29th with a representative from NLAC, so we can help parents get those filled out completely so their kid is ready to start college. Student Council has the outdoor movie night on the 30th of October, and the junior class is sponsoring a costume contest that day. So you pay to play and get your costume judged. That is a special thing that I allow junior class to do. Normally there are no costumes on the 712 campus. Diego can testify to that. But because junior class is not able to do traditional fundraisers like the hot cocoa in the mornings and things like that because of COVID, I allowed them to do a costume contest. Don't make me regret it. And then the community service class is sponsoring a food drive to benefit the Arkansas Arts Academy Gives Back program. That's going on October 26th through November 12th. Each class is competing against the other classes. The winning class on this campus will get an ice cream party. The winning class on the elementary campus will get an ice cream party. And then the losing principal will be slimed in front of the winning campus. So if I lose, then the elementary students get to watch me get slimed in a hippo ballerina costume. And if Matt loses, then he gets slimed in front of my students wearing a hippo ballerina costume. And then I just want to remind everyone that just because COVID is here, that doesn't mean that art is canceled. And so we have teachers who are working to find creative ways to give students opportunities to perform. Jordan Haynes is working with theater students to do a virtual production of The Christmas Carol that will be available this fall. Karen Castleman is working on a virtual production of Alice in Wonderland Ballet. And then we have the art teachers who are looking for ways to get their student art out in front of the community virtually or in person. And the choral department is looking for a way to perform outdoors, as is the orchestra. So they're still looking for ways that they can allow their students to perform and get that experience and still keep everyone safe. That's it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Mr. Jones.
I am so happy to report out on things that I was hired for. It's very exciting for me. So to give a quick little update, Heather, so I have been talking with Ms. Rattler, and we have secured the Cooper Chapel for her kids to then perform, and we will record and then project that out virtually. And so we're going to try to secure a few other beautiful acoustic places that the students can kind of go and be recorded. So we just found that out yesterday. So it's very, very exciting. In arts integration this year, we have Ms. Ann Wenzel, who is helping me out a little bit. She's our creative writing teacher here. She's part-time working as a teacher, and then she's also helping me out. So it's been invaluable to do so. And with that, it's been great to work with so many teachers. As just Heather had said, that so many are looking for these creative ways to work with these teachers to find out how we can kind of integrate the arts into the curriculum as well. And it has been a very, very full semester already. The beginning of the month, October 7th through 9th, the Museum of Native American History, they had their annual cultural conference. It was virtual this year, which reached out to many, many states, of which many of our teachers as well as students participated in. One of it was ask the astronaut some questions. And we had several students participate in that. I was very proud that we had four stump the astronaut. So that was great. And we'll continue to be working with the Museum of Native American History through virtual experiences. At the elementary campus, woo! I'm so excited. Mr. Young, we are continuing your brainchild program of My School, My Museum. So last year we had the third and the fourth grade participate. This year we assessed, we looked and see what how this was going to be working. And once COVID had hit, we are now moving to fourth and sixth grade. So fourth grade will kind of continue. We're jumping forward to sixth grade. So we think this would be kind of a nice jump between the two so that these students don't have the exact same thing, because then the fourth graders last year would have had the exact same experience again. So we're trying to kind of break that up a little bit. So fourth grade and sixth grade, we'll be working with museum educators and myself to have a more in-depth experience. While we cannot go to the museum, we are doing things virtual. The fourth grade had their first one in September. That was language arts and social studies. We did kind of a Star Wars kind of connection that ended up being very, very successful. This month is going to be sixth grade. Mr. Young talked about Ms. Cerna. She is just a jewel and a gem of a teacher of what we have here. And that was another reason. The sixth grade team is such a strong working group. And we knew that this would be one that would be on board with the whole curriculum, how the classes could work very, very well together. So Ms. Cerna and Mr. Taylor are going to be working with the museum this month, and then we'll go back to the fourth grade for next month. On the high school campus, this morning, I got to work with trigonometry. What? I don't even know. That was pretty amazing to be able to work with Ms. Leach, to work together and kind of understand how we're going to kind of do this. We look at navigation. The students were absolutely phenomenal. I learned probably as much as they did. We were kind of taking this early navigation and the developments of things from early before of looking at constellations to the compass to the sextant to other different types of things that you work with. They are now going to be creating some of their own instruments in a much more creative way. We're actually going to be working with Ann and I with Ms. Funderburg in history. We're going to the Renaissance at the end of this week. And then next week, we will be working in all next month with the middle school seventh grade team, which is very, very exciting. So it's going to be very, very busy. Just a step outside of arts integration, I wanted to give recognition. We had a phenomenal individual who called the school and wanted to help in the arts. Ms. Marie Pinter asked if there were some needs, if we had families in need, individuals that might need help to get certain supplies, whether it be instruments, fine arts, or what would have to. So she ended up giving a very generous donation to Arkansas Arts Academy to help those families in need so that their kids could have supplies for their visual art classes. I just thought that was phenomenal to do, and it's and
Marie Pinter.
Pinter,
yes. Okay.
Pinter.
She's my mother-in-law, so
yes,
I gotta get her.
Yeah, it goes her quite well.
Yeah.
Yes. So thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Jones. And Mr. Skelton, is he online?
He gave me his report.
Okay. All right.
Mr. Skelton, I apologize for not being able to be here tonight. He is actually at the AAO here in Rogers as our varsity high school basketball boys team is about to tip off in a game against Northwest Arkansas Hornets. Available on live stream. So when you're done here, flip over. But wait till this is over. First of all, just wanted to, tell everyone that we do have an active booster club for the athletic program. No school funds are used to fund the athletic program here at Arkansas Arts Academy. It all comes from booster club, athlete dues, and donations. So that's a testament to all those involved, because we wanted to keep the importance of arts as a focus in our centering. Yet allow students to have this other opportunity to become well-rounded. And when we look back at the history of athletics here, it was one of the reasons we were losing a lot of kids, historically. So to improve our student retention and just allow more opportunities to be well-rounded. And also as our school needed to grow, it was another avenue for us to open up to show, hey, we also have this opportunity for you. We have this opportunity for you. And we're all about offering opportunities here. Our president that was presented earlier, President Aguilar, is one of the leaders of our cross country team. And they will be going to the beautiful city of Magazine, Arkansas. Look that one up on the map if you haven't been there. For their cross country conference meet on Halloween Day. And then they get to travel to Hot Springs, November 5th, for the state championship. And the boys team has a great opportunity this year, no pressure. They have done phenomenal representing us with not only their running, but also their sportsmanship. Cross country, believe it or not, can be a sport that gets very physical, with elbows being thrown and other things. Yet not reported from our kids. The support that these boys have shown other teams is amazing. And it's a testament to the well-roundedness of our kids. Thank you, President Aguilar, and the other runners of our team. Also, basketball season has started off. We have 56 students involved in our basketball program here at Arkansas Arts Academy. And considering we have one coach, that's amazing. You know, and this is our first year to actually have a high school girls program. And the neat thing to me about our school is we have students that are getting interest from colleges to play a college sport, all the way to kids that had never played the sport before. And they're all together. And that makes our school unique. Because a lot of schools, if you're not playing travel ball by the time you're in pre-K, you're never going to play. Here, you could have been playing travel ball since pre-K, and you're here, and they love you. Or you may have not recognized the basketball, and guess what? They love you. So, you know, I think that just talks about how open that Ms. Wright and Ms. Carpenter, the campus they've created here, have made our school, that all are accepted. And I think that's a testament to them, so I want to thank them for their work. And to have our first high school girls program is exciting. And I was excited today when I was over on the campus. I actually had one of the girls come up to me and say, Mr. Young, sometime can you write down some of that stuff? Because I've never played basketball before. I was like, we can do that. And this is a girl last year that was not interested in succeeding. But now she's found this light. And that light's opening up other points in her career here at school. So we're excited about that. And then archery is coming up. Last year we had two teams actually qualify for the national championship. And Coach Green does an amazing job with the archery program. You're like, how do they do at the national championship? Well, it was closed because of COVID. So we don't know. So we could declare ourselves national champions if we'd like to. I'm just throwing it out there. It's up to the board to make that resolution. I can't control that. It's a sport that goes all the way from fourth grade to 12th grade. It's sponsored by the Arkansas Game and Fish. And it's amazing to see the variety of kids in that sport. I remember we went to Claremore, Oklahoma, and we had some of our students there that had never been in a rodeo arena. And they were a little shocked. But when they put that bow in their hand, it was all natural. So it was great. And I also want to celebrate that we do have two students right now. Currently, they're being collegiately recruiting. That because of the Avenue Athletics, their college doors are being opened for them. So I want to thank you all for supporting their efforts in that.
So I would just like to express my kudos and props to the administrative staff here for at least my first weeks here, learning about the excellence of the programs that are here and the hard work that goes on. And I hope that the report tonight for board members gives you a sense of hope and a desire to move this agenda forward. So thanks to the team here for all your good work. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Next on the agenda, Act 1120, Roberson's Salary Increase Report. Somebody going to talk about that?
So, Debbie, that was provided as an attachment, correct?
Right.
And was there an action that was required for that?
No, sir.
No, so it's really information for the board, gotcha. And if they have other questions,
I did look at that.
Okay. We're happy to report.
Terry Harrell prepared that report.
So, Terry, anything to comment on that?
Well, it's my first year doing this report. It was pretty confusing to me, but I worked with APSRC Bonnie on it. And basically what we're doing is looking at 18-19 versus 19-20, and you have to report anything 5% above or 5% below, and the reasoning behind that difference from one year to the next. So as you can see on most of these, they went up because we did the teacher raise.
Right.
So that was the reason behind a lot of them. And of course, each year a teacher gets a step raise as well. So that was the reason behind a lot of the difference between the 18-19 and the 19-20.
Okay. New business, credit card authorization and bank account authorization for Mr. Burroughs. I guess we just need to get a motion on getting Rich on the credit card and on the bank, stay on the bank account. So I will entertain a motion.
So moved.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
First and second, any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion passed. Okay, submission of Arkansas Statement of Assurance.
So the items C and D are reports that were submitted by the district office on my behalf. And so they're here for approval by or acceptance by the board and to a motion for the two of them to move forward from the district.
Okay, so these are just standard reports that we have submitted to the state every year.
That's correct.
I'm familiar with them. Is there any discussion from any of the board members? Any questions? In that case, I will entertain a motion to accept the submission of the Arkansas Statement of Assurance and the Arkansas Racial and Minority Report. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
All right, I got a first and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. Ayes have it, motion passed. Nomination election of ASBA delegate.
So this is an expectation of our membership with the School Board Association that a member of the board is identified as a delegate who is a voting member of ASBA. It really doesn't require anything more than being able to respond to a delegate vote. There's no attendance required, et cetera. So if there's a member of the board who wishes to volunteer for this particular activity, we'd appreciate that.
Is there any volunteers? No volunteers. Okay, we got a volunteer right here. All right. Nate, I don't know if we need to vote on that.
Yep, we do.
Okay. So Nate has volunteered to be our delegate to ASBA, which is great. So I will make a motion since, okay, I guess maybe I can't make the motion. I need a motion to accept Nate as the delegate.
So moved.
And I need a second. You can second it, Nate.
I'll second it.
All right. We've got a first and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Ayes have it, motion passed.
Great.
All right. Any items since the publication of the agenda? Any additional new items? All right. We are going to go into executive session. We have a couple of personnel things to talk about. So I'm going to start a Zoom meeting here in a minute. For the board members and Rich, the rest of you are free to step outside and come back when you're over. There'll be no voting, anything like that during the executive session.
I thought it'd take longer to get here. You're quick, Rick.
I'm a quick guy, yeah.
All right, let me know when you got us up and going.
Thanks, Debbie, for hanging.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
It's the girls.
Okay, we're back.
All right, we are back. I'm calling us out of executive session at 8:01 p.m. There is nothing to move forward on, nothing to vote on. So with that, I will ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
First and a second, any further discussion about adjourning? No, all those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. Motion passed, we are adjourned. Thank you so much.
Good night.
Have a good one, good night.
Good night.